Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you are listening to Parent in Hell with...
Izzy, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
And can you say, buy their books? Well done, sweetie.
That was so cute.
That was amazing. Obviously, fully behind it. That is Kerry O'Gallagher. She knows how to get on the bloody podcast, doesn't she?
Kerry O'Gallagher. I mean, it's the most Irish Scottish name. It's the most Gaelic person I've ever heard of.
So, this little voice, our daughter Izzy, who has just turned two. Usually, I'm not one for using my child's cuteness to bait people into making a purchase, but in the case of your books, I think it's entirely justified.
Yeah, boy.
My husband and I started listening to your podcast during a deep low in lockdown one, and you've helped us survive this seemingly never-ending lockdown since. This content is priceless, light relief for any parent out there, especially if they're having a rough time. And since
that's nice.
We can't pay you for the pleasure, we think buying your books is the least we could do, and Izzy agrees. Thanks again for everything, Kerry and Steve O'Gallagher.
Oh, the old Gallaghers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Very kind of you. Yes, if you don't mind buying the book. Yes. Glad to help. I feel like we owe the listenership an apology, Josh, for our
Many apologies, Rob. So many. Where do we start?
Well, first of all, we need to apologise for how depressed and tired we were for the first episode back. Yeah. I wouldn't say we came back with a bang.
No, I wouldn't say we came back with a bang.
We crawled out from under a rock. I'd say.
I even forgot to say my lowest moment of the Euros, Rob, because it was the day after England had lost to... Well, let's not talk about what it was the day
yeah,
after.
Yeah, let's not bring that up. What was your lowest moment?
So, when it happened, I was gutted for 3 seconds, and then I thought, Rob is going to love this. So I almost got a ticket to the final, Rob.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
well, it's so, good you didn't, in a way.
Good I didn't. I had a lovely evening with my friends in the end. I was in a way, it worked out perfectly. But I was... Alex Brooker got a ticket, and they said they could do him a plus one of me. Yeah. And then they came back to him, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd given it to Kelly Brook.
What's up? He took Kelly Brook?
No, he was just sat near with Kelly Brook. No, he hadn't given it to Kelly Brook.
Oh,
the people had. They'd gone, actually, Josh is second in line to the sexiest woman of 2001.
Kelly Brook, I mean, I cannot tell you what impact Kelly Brook had on my life as a teenager.
Well, I cannot tell you what impact she had on my life as a 38-year-old, mate. To the Euro final.
She's hammering us at every turn.
Let's not go back to
let's not talk about
what
Euros.
We were like as 90s teenagers because I was about to talk about FHM in the 90s and I thought it's not for our listeners, Rob. It's not for our listeners.
I bought an absolute job lot load of loaded in FHM from the 90s and early noughties because I wanted to do a like a YouTube channel of me just reading it out, and it is some of it is so awful it cannot be read out.
Now, Rob.
Yeah.
I feel better than I did last Monday. Because basically coming out of the Euros, it feels like the first week of January. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when you're it was a depressing week. But I feel like I've stopped drinking.
Yeah,
I've exactly. drunk stopped since drinking. The final. And I'm enjoying not drinking, and I've been eating healthy, and I feel like a new person. I was in a dark place. I was on a stag do for 3 weeks, Josh. Genuinely. Lou keeps mentioning things I forgot I did.
Oh, my word.
I was ordering takeaways and forgetting and falling asleep, and she'd find them on the doorstep.
Oh, my God.
Cold, where they've just left it because no one answered. And we need to apologise for this, Josh. We've had some feedback about, obviously, we've changed the name to Parenting Hell.
Yeah. And we had Our big relaunch has been a slightly sticky start. It's been a slightly GB News of a start, hasn't it?
I took the knee, actually, during one of the opening links. No, so basically, we re-recorded the intro, and we've had some feedback. This is on Instagram. Hey, guys, love the episode today, as always, but please, 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 can you re-record the intro? I know you've had a tough time recently, but where has that slightly upbeat tone gone? You're doing yourself an injustice. And then
where's that from? Your mum?
This is from Amy Stevens on Insta, and it's been popped up with Leanne. I thought the same, Amy. Sounds almost depressed. But is that maybe the point? The next one, I thought that too last week, but assumed it was a hangover basis as well. But we can't have this as the intro. So we are going to re-record the intro. Hopefully Michael will have put it at the beginning of this episode.
I mean, what the people really want is Michael to record the intro. That's what the people at home really want.
Hey, guys. I actually sounded sexy like Michael between the Germany and Denmark game because my voice was so hoarse. Belting out Sweet Caroline. Right, kids, let's talk about kids. Let's stop talking about Euros.
Okay,
let's move on. We've apologised for that.
We've apologised.
Kids now. It's the start of the summer holidays, Josh.
It is. It is the start of your summer holidays.
How are you feeling? How's it going? Let's start with you.
Well, it doesn't affect me, Rob, because my daughter's at nursery.
All summer?
All summer.
Okay.
Apart from training days, which I'm going to be honest with you, Rob. Yeah. I'd prefer them to just be slightly worse at their job and we get the Fridays. That's all I'm going to say.
When I was a kid, they used to be called Baker Days?
Yeah, they used to be called Baker Days when I was a kid as well.
So what was that? Why were they called Baker Days?
I don't know. Was it something like bank holidays? Was it like a day when...
I don't know. But now, how much training are you doing? You either know how to look after a kid
or
you don't.
Exactly. If they're breathing, it's fine.
Imagine that. Oh, good training there. Actually, can't hit them. Never knew.
But how you've got the 6 weeks, you know, family at home for 6 weeks, your daughter must be absolutely her first ever proper summer holiday.
Well, yeah, before we start that, I've just Googled it. An inset day or a training day used to be known as a TD day, teacher development day, or a PD day, professional development day, or a Baker day. And that was because of Kenneth Baker.
Oh,
was a Conservative minister. MP in 88. And he introduced these sort of training days for teachers. And it was known as a Baker day.
Oh, there we go. Kenneth Baker. What, Rob? That's the kind of fact that I will use in conversation and people call me boring.
Yeah, exactly. But accept you're boring. I'm going to tell you I'm boring and I'm a dad now. I said to my daughters, that chair's for sitting on, not for jumping on. And as I said
Rob, I aged
20 years.
Tick it off on the I Spy.
Let's do this as a new feature. Send in parent sayings that you've not said yet. But
yeah, I've got one.
Like that.
I've got one that I think every dad says to their child, but when their child's 17, which is about buying a new car, which is you lose £2,000 by driving it off the forecourt.
Yes. You will have to adjust that saying for inflation at some point.
Yes, yeah,
when your kids, all cars are £1 million and you have to get, you lose 250 grand as you drive it off.
As you fly it off the forecourt.
As you hover it at home into your floating garage. Above your house, that's now allowed. But anyway, sorry, Josh, what was you saying about summer holidays?
This is it, really. This is your first kind of... When I was a child and those 6 weeks stretched out in front of you, the freedom.
Yeah. it's gone. We've basically, this is our technique, right? We've booked in lots of stuff for the summer. We're having no summer holiday as such. We're going to a caravan, like a static caravan park in August, and we're going to Legoland. And we've got a few like sort of day trips here and there, I think. Little bits and bobs. But Legoland for 2 nights and a caravan park for 4 nights is the stuff we've got booked in. And there's loads of other stuff with like family barbecues and kids' birthday parties and all that. So we're quite rammed in August. And like I said, my youngest was getting all a bit nutty and screaming and stuff like that. And me and Lou have had a little bit of back and forth where I think they're doing too much. I think when I was a kid, you basically just were – at the
back and forth is a great euphemism, Rob.
Let's be honest. We normally compromise, which involves Lou making every single decision with or without me. And if I at any point go, I don't think that's a good idea, we'll have a slight argument until I apologise and we do what she wanted to do at the start. Okay, that is
solid.
This is a solid setup.
It's a good system.
However, I really, really had to stick my stake in the ground and go hard on this one. But because I've slightly different upbringings and slightly different lifestyles, you're a bit more posher than me. Where when I was a kid, you basically went to the local park or you was in your garden or in the street for 6 weeks. And apart from occasionally a holiday, you literally just did whatever you wanted in your just had to make your own fun, didn't you?
My summer holidays was 2 weeks in Pembroke, which is West Wales, which is lovely. And then the other 4 weeks, basically, I was in charge of myself, Rob.
Yeah.
I was basically feral on the moor.
Yeah, feral on the moor. So they're feral in the garden now because they're too young to sort of go. I haven't even got a moor near. I don't know where the nearest moor is. I don't even know what a moor is. What's the difference between a moor and just a bit of grass?
It's like a hilly bit of grass.
Hilly bit of grass. So I was saying it's great. And Lou likes to be organised. Lou's got a spreadsheet for the summer holidays, right?
Oh, my word.
And it's pretty good, but it's almost like it's pretty non-stop. And I was saying, I think the kids are too engaged. That there's too much plan for them. We're doing too much for our kids. And I was saying, I think sometimes just let them just do what they want and they can be creative and they can mess about. And I've got loads of activities for them to do. But like, basically what we've done is for the first week of summer holidays, we've got nothing booked in at all. Every morning we wake up and say, what should we do? We've got no clubs. We've got no swimming. We've got no holiday, nothing, and just see where we go and what we end up doing and let them sort of dictate what they want to do rather than us marching from place to place.
What do you think they're going
to
do, Rob?
Well, at the moment, they're absolutely loving it and they're just feral. They're just in the garden. It's lovely weather, just in there, just basically that. Well, they were just like naked in the paddling pool and we were putting cream on them. But when they went for a bath, they were very pink, Josh.
Oh, no.
Very pink. We kept on applying sun cream, but they're very good. Not too pink, but a bit pink. But they found it absolutely hilarious that they were a bit pink, where and Lou thought we were the worst parents that's ever lived. Yeah. But we did put cream on them loads, but it's just a harsh sun.
It's a harsh sun, and you're a blonde man as well, Rob. Do you know what I mean?
And Lou's a bit Irish and Welsh. Yeah. And they're very blonde.
I don't think either of our kids stand much of a chance in hot climates.
Oh, no. I mean, if our kids went on to Love Island, they'd be freckly, hot and panicked as they walked in. I don't think we could breed Adonises. You know, them sort of bronzed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're basically having a week of nothing and just sort of letting them choose what we do. So at the moment they've built a fall and they're just playing in the paddling pool and drawing on cardboard and we've got paints and loads of stuff for them to do. And they're playing with all Lego and all sorts. So they're really enjoying just sort of doing nothing kind of thing and just resting.
And you're excited about it?
Yeah, I am. I am. And like, because we need to catch up on sleep. So do the kids. And so that we're just sort of being, and I'm not working too much this week. So it's just a real nice week of just us. And also, they've been at school and preschool so much, they're excited to be indoors.
Yeah.
We couldn't have done this kind of week at the end of the summer holidays because they'd be bored of us, bored of the house. So our sort of plan is the first week of summer holidays, just let them run free in the house and do what they want to a point and then booking stuff from today.
What's the headline activity of the summer holidays? What's week six?
Oh, what's week six? What we got week six? Oh, the final week. Let me have a look in the diary. Lou's spreadsheet is insane, mate.
This is amazing.
So the final week of the summer holidays is me and Lou, I think, are going to... is we going to that? Oh, no. So they're going to a caravan park with their grandparents.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then me and Lou got a bit of time at home, and I've got to record the audio book.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm recording the audio book and stuff, and they're going to the caravan park with the grandparents. That is a dream, isn't it?
That is a dream. Oh, I'll quickly tell you, because for the audio book, I'm interviewing a few 90s people just to shove it in the audio book. It's a bit of extra stuff.
A bit of extra content. Go on. Who are you speaking to?
Well, this week, Rob, I've been texting both Pat Sharp and Jet from Gladiators.
Oh, my God.
And she's saved in my phone as Jet from Gladiators, which I really have enjoyed.
How old is Pat Sharp and Jet from Gladiators now? Can they text? Is it all capitals and no grammar?
Well, Pat Sharp's an absolute hoot, Rob.
Is
Pat
he? Sharp.
He said, Friday's good for me, Josh. What time? I said 10 a.m. He replied, Sharp.
Sharp. Oh, I love it.
And I said, very on brand. And he said, sadly, I've been doing that for 40 years.
At least he can acknowledge it.
That's
the secret. When you're 63 and you are on this podcast, you go, I'm not going to lie. My grandkids are tiring. You know what you're doing. You can't be judged for it.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, do you know what? Someone tweeted me the other day about when I was doing all the stuff on Instagram at the Euros, went, really enjoying Rob Beckett's career revival renaissance at the Euros. And I was like, was I in the wilderness? And I didn't know.
I don't think so.
No, well, that's what I thought I was still on the up.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the second up.
Yeah, this is your Jack D going into the Big Brother house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the Big Brother house, but I'm in charge of the edit. That's what social media, there's no reality shows. Everyone makes their own one.
Exactly.
That's exciting then, Josh. I'm a bit worried about doing the audio book because it's sort of like just reading it out, reading your own book.
Do you think it's going to be boring, Rob? Not your book, but do you think like the experience of it's going
to
be?
I don't think it'll be boring. I've done loads of VO, so I'm used to it, but I am worried that I'm going to read a bit and I think, I want to change that, but I can't because it's been printed and now I'm just reading it out. But that's like anything, but you'll never be totally happy. You'll always want to tweak things.
Exactly, exactly. I heard a story about, I won't name them, but a celebrity who had their autobiography ghost written.
Yes.
And the first time they read it was in the audiobook reading.
Yep.
And they just basically had a breakdown because they were like, this is terrible. This is awful.
I don't think they're alone.
No, I don't know.
That's the ghostwriter books. I mean, I just think if you're going to do a book, you do it properly. And I know some people aren't academic or whatever. I'm not academic. I've never really been academic and I've got dyslexia and all sorts. And I've got ADHD probably. I'm not at it confirmed, but I can't really concentrate. And I did it and I put effort in. So just write a book. If you're going to write a book, write a book. Yes, it is hard. So just work hard at it. So
no one's making you write a book.
Exactly. I've got no sympathy for ghostwriter people. I think just put the effort in. And if you don't, then stuff like that's going to happen. You can't have a coffee with someone 5 times and they write your book and it'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? Just write your book. Anyway, let's stop talking about books. Let's talk about you, Josh. How's your parenting going? You're right.
Rob.
Yeah, because you text me a couple of times and I was a bit worried.
Have I texted you?
Yeah. Well, can I play this? This is you. You kept on delaying the start of the podcast, which is fine. I've done it plenty of times before. But in this voice note, you sound so panicked and stressed. Me and Michael actually felt a bit sorry for you. Let me play it.
Realistically, so I'm not late. Can we do 10 past 11? But I promise that's the last time change. This morning has been a hilarious disaster. I'm so sorry, guys. One day.
I don't even know what one day means.
I have no idea what one day means.
What does one day mean?
You're so panicky and quick.
Also, I turned up at 11:15. I didn't even make it for my...
One day. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
You're so panicked at the beginning, Josh.
I was holding a baby as I was doing that.
Right, you sound pathetic at this point. Right, I'm going to play it again. At the beginning, you sound like to a point where I'm like, do I really want to work with this bloke? Listen.
Realistically, so I'm not like, can we do 10 past 11? But I promise that's the last time.
I promise.
It's pathetic. I don't know if you need to work me again now you're back on the up, Rob.
I know, now I'm on the up. It all went wrong.
On the up.
But oh, bless you. I know that feeling. You didn't even start with height. You were like, realistically, I just don't think I'm just going to, like, oh, you're God. Doing open heart surgery. Like, mate, it's me in my own house. I've got to walk to the, like, my desk, like, oh, 10 minutes later than laying on the sofa watching Love Island.
Oh, mate, my life.
So what's happening? What's going on? You said you're not getting any sleep. You texted me the other morning
early. Mate. Acid reflux.
Oh, no.
Did either of your kids have acid reflux?
They did. They didn't have acid reflux. I was like, if you're not sure if they had acid reflux, they didn't. I think it's the rule, isn't it? Because you know if they do. But no, I don't think so.
Oh,
my
word. My
first one was a bit more harder. Didn't sleep as well as the second. But I don't think it was acid reflux.
Yeah. So basically,
you text me at 6 a.m. Quite a normal time to text someone, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been up for 2 hours.
Yeah, you text me, fuck me. He woke up every hour to 90 minutes last night. Hilariously bad.
God. I put hilariously, but I'm just doing that to kind of take the edge off. I did it in that.
Nothing that's happening in your house at the moment is hilarious.
No.
But I think for your own sanity, it's good to say it.
I like when I'm walking around the bedroom trying to get him to sleep in the dark at about 9 p.m. I say phrases like, I hate my life. And I hate this.
This is where you feel better. Right? I think Robish did a bit of stand-up about it. But when we was filming in South Africa, we'd been really busy and like been eating bad and drinking bad like that. And he got out the shower and there's a massive mirror in these hotel bedrooms, right? And as he caught himself in the mirror naked, he just said to himself, I hate your body. Your body. So you're walking around saying, I hate myself.
I hate my life.
I hate your life.
I hate this. I started, you know, like how you don't really remember much of the first bit. So I thought what I'll do this time is I'll just write, like, every now and again, I'll just write down stuff that's happening, like, so that I've got it. And then, like,
it's makes the second book easier, doesn't it?
And Rob, it's too bleak. I was like, I can't show this to my son when he's grown up.
Oh, so is it sort of like a diary? Just like, oh, this is what
I was just like, this is what we're... Jeez, Louis.
I think you're logging enough of it on here.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. Another form.
No, I know. It was just like an outlet. And, oh, God, it was so... So let me take you through the kind of evening we had on Thursday.
Yep.
So bear in mind, I haven't had a proper evening since May the 11th. Which was the day he was born, because he just doesn't sleep in the evenings.
Yeah.
I've never sat down and watched TV. Like, do you know what I mean? So basically what will happen is you'll feel the evening approaching and the dread begins. You know, like if you've got a terrible corporate in the diary or so, you've got something in the diary you really don't want to do.
Or job interview or a funeral or something horrible like that where, you know. Yeah.
So the evening approaches. Then... Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this. I might have said before he was born that my main concern was that how my daughter would react.
Yes.
That is one of the most, frankly, fucking naive. Absolutely. the least of my problems, Rob.
How is she reacting, by the way, before?
She's totally fine with it. It's not an issue at all.
And the thing is as well, you was getting really anxious about that as well.
To the point where I know.
It's really stressing you out. But it's so true where, like, you can't worry about something that's coming up. Just sort of react to it in the moment and it's fine.
Exactly. Why did that? That was such a small, it's not even, doesn't make any difference to my life. Although, did I tell you what she said to him the other day?
No.
She said, I love you, but I wouldn't mind if you weren't here.
Oh my God. I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind if you weren't here.
It's so funny, little subtle turns of phrases are so brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. I might start saying that to people. So then you spend the evening walking around with him in pain and then you get him down. And once he's down for about an hour and a half in the evening, obviously.
Yeah.
One of us will go and you'll go down separately to eat your dinner. Which is obviously 10 minutes of absolutely wonderful alone time, but also while hearing the crying coming from upstairs. Luckily, my daughter's a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. Oh, God, imagine if you weren't.
Imagine. And then he wakes up every hour to an hour and a half. And to the point where...
Oh, that's brutal, man.
It is. But it's just to the point where you're like, you're just wishing... When you wake up at three and it's the fourth time you've woken up or whatever.
Yeah.
You just... it's not even that you want any more sleep. You just want the night to be over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then at least you can have a coffee.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to sleep going, oh, I can't wait to wake up so I can have a coffee? That's bad. I think I drink too much.
No, I think that's good. I think that's, you know, is much better than, you know, other stimulants that you could be dreaming of when you're asleep.
Smashing a big line of coke and a pint of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, you could be that guy with a flare up his ass who did 3 grams of coke and 20.
What do you mean I could be that guy? I just don't film that stuff.
I can't believe he's back on the up, that guy.
He's back on his career
renaissance.
He got front page of the Sun, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't care either.
No, he couldn't give a shit. Couldn't give a shit. Anyway, woke up by 5:30, it's game over, he's up.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just take him downstairs. I do the early shift, which is actually quite pleasant because you're just downstairs. And
So what time was you up on Friday morning?
5:30.
And then you're doing last leg that evening.
Yeah. So
now I know people like I was watching telly on Friday, right?
Yeah.
And I was flicking over, and you were on last leg, and then I realized it didn't finish till 10:10. Was it a longer episode or something?
No, I think it starts at 5:10 and finishes at 10. Like it's one.
I was sat on the sofa at 10:30, going, I am exhausted. I'd got up at 7, right, with the kids, and they were just watching. I did nothing really. I was like, I am absolutely fucked. And I flicked over and I saw you and I thought, that guy must be absolutely ruined. And I know, and I totally get people work like 6 days a week doing night shifts and they've still got kids and all that. So I'm not saying, you know, and that in actual fact, it's easier just to do once a week. However, the threat of live TV and cancel culture to be doing that tired. If you wouldn't be allowed to use heavy machinery in that state, never mind hold your career in your hand, talking about like sort of racism in football and the Paralympics.
Come on, guys, I don't need to talk about this now, please. Can't we go back to the guy with the flare up his ass for another 5 minutes?
So how are you doing that then? If you're not getting any sleep in the night, you're up at
half five. So I reckon I had 3 hours sleep. Then I got up and I was like, I'm going to have a cup of tea. Great. The one good thing is he will, in the morning, he happily just sit on you. So I could just... I actually got downstairs. I was like, he'll sit on me. I'm going to sit on the sofa and watch TV for the first time since the beginning of May.
I used to be able to play FIFA by, when they were really little, hold them in one arm and then you can still hold the controller because they'd still just sit still. That was a good pick. That was a great 3 weeks.
Oh, I bet. So you'll think this is very on brand, Rob.
Yeah.
I went on to Netflix.
This is the first time you've sat down and watched telly. Properly,
yeah, I went
really.
On to Netflix and I was like, I'll just go on. You know, like there's a like, what's popular on Netflix, the top 10 things on Netflix. I ended up at 6 a.m. and it's probably the happiest I've been in 6 weeks, excluding football related joy. I just watched a documentary about Boys to Men.
Oh, wow. That seems very, that bit seems of an odd choice.
It was, and I was about 20 minutes in when I thought, what am I doing with my life? It's Friday morning, it's 6 a.m. I'm watching a documentary about Boys to Men because it was one of the most popular things on Netflix, and I just clicked on it. And to be honest, this is the happiest I've been in days.
Was it a good documentary?
Not particularly, Rob.
I don't know, is there a big story about Boys to Men?
Not really, no. They were much more successful than I'd realised. But they could have just told. I could have just gone on their Wikipedia page to find that out, Rob.
Yeah, no, is it called This Is Pop? Is that?
Yeah, it's This Is Pop. Yeah,
the Boys to Men effect. Also, they do one about each one. So the ones about Boys to Men.
There's one about Boys to Men. That's like the first episode of the series.
Yeah, and there's one about Auto-Tune.
I mean, I didn't want to watch one about that. I didn't want to watch a documentary about Auto-Tune.
There's a Britpop episode.
Yeah, but I thought I know all about this.
I'll be honest, a series that starts with Boys to Men is not going to deliver Josh Widdicombe anything new about Britpop, is it?
No, exactly.
Well, you start it and go, Oasis are a band from Manchester. Fuck off. Come on, mate. Ain't my first rodeo.
But that's what my life's come to now.
Yes.
Just watching documentaries about Boys to Men on my own. Oh, this is how tired I am, Rob.
Yep.
Got my house insurance. I had got new house insurance.
Yep.
They were like, you need a burglar alarm.
Yep.
For this house insurance. Fine. I'll get a burglar alarm installed. You've got 30 days to install the burglar alarm. Finally saw the guy coming around yesterday. He walks him to kind of recce the place about installing this burglar alarm. And he looks on the wall and he goes, oh, well, this is useful because you've already got a burglar alarm, so we can just use the wiring. And I was like, what? And there's a burglar alarm on the door, on the wall, next to the door that I've had for 3 years that I hadn't noticed was there. We've got a burglar alarm. And I didn't know we... There's a box on the wall with the code, numbers for a code. And I'm so unobservant. I haven't noticed it's there in my hallway.
So what is the bloke installing then?
A new burglar alarm using the wires of the old burglar alarm.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So it's probably better than, it's all in the right place. And
But I didn't even know we had a burglar alarm. There's a thing flashing in the corner of each room. We've got a burglar alarm.
All right. Yeah, so all that's installed as well.
All of that's installed as well. It's all there.
So he's just basically put a new box on the wall and all the wires work.
And I was like, how do I... I've been so tired for the last 3 years. I haven't even noticed we've got a burglar alarm.
Oh, this is not good for... You're an observational comedian, mate.
I know. I can't even observe my own house.
To be fair, if you could, that'd be a terrible routine, just people that don't live in your house hearing about things in your house.
Yeah. No one needs to hear that.
No, but maybe when you're indoors, you just calm down. And then when you go out, that's when you turn on the observant part of your brain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When you're out and about shopping and you see a Fanta Twist.
Oh, exactly. And then I've got 5 minutes for the tour show, Rob.
And that's that sorted.
I've got a gig tomorrow night, Rob, in Brighton.
Oh, yeah. Are you getting there? Train?
I'm driving there with Ed Gamble, who's also on.
Is he driving or are you driving?
I'm driving. Do you think that's unsafe?
Well, yeah. Why doesn't he drive?
I don't think he drives, does he? I don't know if he drives.
One of them.
He grew up in London. He doesn't need to, Rob.
I grew up in London. I don't need to because I can afford a fucking Uber. I'll get you, mate. Yeah. I got your card, Mark Gamble. West London posh boy, doesn't need a car. You wait till he's got two kids in the back and he's still trying to learn to drive. If this will make you feel better, Josh, about your situation, my daughter said to me, they saw me getting out of the shower the other day, I had a towel around my waist, and they said to me, have you got milk in those big nipples?
Oh, my God.
Not ideal. Rob. Not great for morale, is it?
Do you know what? That's actually more bleak than the Romesh story. Have you got milk in those big nipples?
And also, I knew my nipples got a bit bigger because I've been drinking and eating badly and I've put on a bit of weight and got a bit puffy after a few weeks of doing quite well. So I was a little bit insecure about it. And then pointed out my big milky tits.
So do they mean just your nipples have got bigger or your milky tits?
I think a bit of both. I do have large nipples anyway. And my milky tits looks a bit milkier than normal because I haven't been doing much exercise.
What did you say?
I said no. I just said no, I haven't got milk in those big nipples. Thinking about the other day though, is like I tried to working from home. You know, people still are to a point. I don't know when that's going to change on Freedom Day or whatever. But it's like when you're trying to get from the kitchen to wherever your office is, if it's in the spare room or if it's in the kitchen or if it's in the front room or wherever you got it or in the shed or whatever. Like when it's summer holidays, it's so messy everywhere because you can't keep on top of the cleaning. Like, well, normally you get them off to school, have a quick tidy up or whatever, and then you know, they're not actually in the house that much. But when they're in the house all the time, it's carnage. It's a bit like, you know, that scene in Dunkirk when he's running?
Yeah. Can you hear that? Sorry.
Yeah, what's happening down there? You've got people in the house, Josh?
Hello?
Oh, hello, you're right. What's happening down there? Burglar man? Burglar alarm?
He's installing the window locks that we also need, Rob.
Oh, yes, of course, for the insurance. Well, you're nice and secure there now.
Yes, yes. Don't you bloody try anything, burglars. We're absolutely ready for you.
Yeah, so what I was saying is like when it's a summer holidays, the house is so messy and there's just kids everywhere. It's like you can't, when you're trying to get to a meeting or whatever it is, a Zoom, can I have an ice cream? Can I have this? It's like, you know, that Dunkirk when he's running and there's all the bombs going off and just people knocking into it. You're sort of like trying to get through everyone just to get to your room. It's carnage. And then one of them starts screaming. It must be impossible if you're like a single parent and you're still trying to work and the kids are at home. It must be absolutely impossible.
I totally agree. Like this is the thing we have slightly at the moment, is that if you go to do something, mm-hmm. the biggest mistake you can do is to then go back having not completely finished all of your tasks. Because the moment you go back into the room, the other one's going to try and escape to do something.
You have to make the most of every second.
Like when I finish this podcast, Rob.
Yeah, what's your plan?
I've got like all this admin emails and texts and stuff. I'm going to just sit here and do that. Because if I go, I'll go downstairs and then I'll do that. Yeah. I'm not going to get it done.
No, it's right. Okay, you're done then, are you? No, not really. Because if I don't pay our tax, we're going to be in lots of trouble.
Exactly.
The burglar alarm's going to be the least of our worries.
Exactly.
Right, Josh, you want some Instagram messages?
I do.
I've got some more people that will help you out from, and anyone else that's feeling tired listening. I've got some more tired than Josh messages here. Hi, Rob and Josh. I really enjoy your podcast. It's been helpful to put a smile on my face in the darker days of lockdown. Lately, a few parents have been sharing their stories about being tired with newborns. My son is 5 now, but it brought a flashback of being a new mum and one night in particular. I breastfed my son exclusively, and as you'll know, that meant doing most of the waking up at night. Being a new mum, I did everything by the book. So when the midwife told me to feed the baby every 4 hours, I set an alarm in case he didn't naturally wake up. Oh, first mistake.
Come on, mate.
Imagine, Josh, imagine just setting an alarm for 4 hours so you can wake your child.
I'll have done 2 or 3 wake-ups in that time.
Anyway, I don't think this message is actually making you feel better, but anyway.
No.
One night, the alarm went off. Totally exhausted, I picked up the baby to feed him, keeping the lights off as not to wake my husband. I spent at least 2 minutes trying to get him to latch, and it just wasn't working. Eventually, I turned on the light and looked down. I realised I'd been trying to breastfeed my own pillow. And my son was sound asleep in his cot. Anyway, Josh, remember, eventually it does get better. That's
she
the key message.
She only had 4 hours sleep. How could she?
Don't get she salty possibly? About the 4 hours sleep. Imagine being jealous of someone getting 4 hours sleep. I feel for you, Josh. It does get better, Josh. It gets better. Don't worry.
Well, wow, Rob.
Yeah.
Acid reflux.
Oh, God.
Because he had an appointment about just a general checkup on Wednesday, like the how's it going thing. And Rose said, how long could it last? They said, up to the age of 6 to 8 months.
Oh, my God. So what's in that moment? 3 months?
2 months.
2 months. Oh, my God, it feels like so long, Josh. I can't believe it's only 2 months.
It's. I mean, what? 6 to 8 months? The age of 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, but that's just, it could be, that's a ballpark.
It could, that's a ballpark. I was expecting like 2 or 3 more weeks.
So it could be 4 months or it could be 10 months.
No, it couldn't be. Apparently, we can start weaning early. That's one thing we can do.
Right, okay. So we're normally 6 months of weaning, isn't it?
Yeah, we can bring it forward to 4 months, apparently.
I hated weaning my kids. I hated every second of it. And I was just like, just give them fucking porridge until they've got teeth.
So boring, weaning.
I hate
it's
it. Also,
so
I just
rubbish.
Feel like they're going to choke on everything. And like that noise of a kid choking. Just,
oh, and
I've had some terrible experiences of them choking.
It's so frustrating trying to spoon that Ella's pouches into a mouth that doesn't want an Ella's pouch.
Don't spoon it in. Let them hold it. Just squeeze it in, mate. Why are you spooning it?
Hold the nose and squeeze it in. Hold the nose down the mouth.
No, but you don't need to spoon it. You just literally, I treated my kids like foie gras, basically. You just shove the little hole in the mouth and squeeze it in gently. There's no need for a spoon. Keep it tidy. Keep it neat.
Okay.
I had fat geese as kids. Just squeeze that. You're like, I'm not saying don't force it in. If they don't want it, don't give it to them at all. I'm not absolutely not saying hold their nose and force it in.
No.
But what I'm saying is if they're hungry and they want it, rather than messing about with a spoon, just put that little, just squeeze it a little bit into their mouth.
Okay.
From the pouch, directly from pouch to mouth.
From pouch to mouth, in 2 months' time when I'm doing an early weaning.
Kino's telling me off for that.
Yeah, don't write him. We know we're wrong on all these things.
We know we're wrong and we don't listen to anything we say.
Yeah, don't.
Two blokes trying. Right, here we go. Here's another one. Keep me anonymous. This is keep me anonymous.
Okay,
a good message. Hi, Josh and Rob. Never listened to a podcast in my life until lockdown. Then a colleague recommended your podcast for a brilliant wind down after a crazy shift. So I've been listening to every podcast and have tears of laughter. So after Friday's podcast with Ian Sterling, this was from a few weeks ago before the break, I really felt the need to email. Okay, so the baby belly button thing. Ian framed his, the little belly button clip that falls off. Ian's got his frame, doesn't he, on the wall. Ian Sterling, this is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we thought that was a bit strange, but it isn't. This lady here kept her child's one in a little trinket box on the cabinet beside the cot.
What?
When my first daughter was born, so it's been on the cabinet by the cot. At 10 months old, I went into her room and she was sitting in the cot saying, yum, yum.
Oh, no.
While chewing on something
with her 16. Oh, no.
I quickly put my fingers in her mouth in a panic. Nothing there. The panic subsided as she was breathing and wasn't choking and there was nothing in her mouth. I noticed a trinket box in her cot. The white belly button clip had nothing attached.
Oh, my God.
She had eaten her own belly button.
Oh, my God.
That is
disgusting. That's cannibalism.
It's like when you see a pigeon eating KFC off the floor.
Oh, my God.
You know, when there's a bit of chicken on the floor. Oh, God. In a panic, I phoned A&E and explained to the doctor what happened. I heard a giggle, then put it on hold. And then I was put on hold. At this point, I actually laughed, knowing it wasn't a bad thing. But first baby, you freak out everything.
Of course.
Anyway, the doctor came back on the line and said, if she develops a temperature or you think she is unwell, bring her to A&E. I said, okay, thank you. No, and I was stressing for nothing.
That's such a cop out for the doctor.
I freaked out completely and totally lost my head. And my job is a midwife.
No. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
So even midwives don't know what the right thing to do is. And some midwives let their children eat their own skin. So, you know, next time a midwife's giving you shit, remember that.
Can we just ponder on the madness of putting it in a trinket box?
Also, can I just say, I've got nothing against midwives. I do think they do an amazing job.
Yes.
However, it's just proof that nobody's perfect and we all can make mistakes. But we should say this. Keeping the rotting flesh belly button in your house, in a trinket box or in a frame, or anywhere that isn't a bin, is fucking disgusting. And you may disagree with me, and I accept your apology in the future when you realise it's fucking disgusting as well. All right? We're all a bit sentimental and overly emotional when they're young, but after a while you'll realise, what are you going to do with that belly button?
What would you do, Rob, if your parents said, do you want to see your belly button?
I would get it and immediately put my own belly button in the bin. And no one could say anything because it's my belly button. Wait, when are you going to whip it out?
I don't want to see that.
Placenta, right, if you cook a placenta and eat it in sweets, I'm okay with that, right? I think if you're into that and there's been studies that you can get loads of vitamins or it's something you want to do, fine. It's been put into something else and you've got it. Keeping hold of it, like in the freezer without doing anything with it, it's weird. And keeping hold of the belly button is so fucking weird, Josh.
It's like... Like, imagine, like if I said, I've kept all my toenail clippings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you'd go, what is wrong with you? There's no memory. You're not going to look at it and be taken back to the day of the birth.
No. And also, look, I feel like we're throwing shade here, and we didn't really bring this up when I was chatting to Ian Sterling, which now looks disingenuous. But I agree. But I don't want... That's not me being disingenuous. I just don't want to rain on someone's parade because at that moment in time, when you framed the rotting flesh belly button and put it on your wall, you're loving that. I don't want to ruin it for you, but I am aware that in about a year's time, you'll go, let's take that fucking horrific Satan-worshipping weird bit of belly button off the wall and put it in a drawer or better still, throw it away. And that will happen. No one's still got it when the kids are 18.
No.
The lock of hair's weird as well. Yeah. A bit better than rotting skin.
Yeah, I'd take the look because the hair stays as hair, right?
Why doesn't it die? It must just disintegrate. How long can it last?
Is this a thing? I remember this. I don't remember doing it myself, but there'd be kids that would, when they'd go to the barbers, they'd keep the hair. Do you remember that?
No, you can donate hair.
Oh, yeah, you can donate hair.
My mate, he wanted to stay anonymous, when we sort of shared a house. He was like, no, I think, or it was his parents or whatever. He had a girlfriend and was obviously having sex with her using a condom, but didn't know what to do with a condom. So just had a little tin full of used condoms.
Oh, my God.
Because he didn't know how to get rid of them.
Oh, my word.
And then when we would take the piss out of him, we'd fucking, he's got a little spunk tin and all that. He's got loads of condoms in a tin. He went, well, I'm not embarrassed. I've had sex with a girl. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. 1-0.
1-0.
What 1-0 to someone who, it was too far to go to the toilet. So they'd go in a juice carton, if there was a juice carton next to their bed, and they woke up in the middle of the night needing a piss. And then the inevitable...
Juice carton? What, had you pissed down the straw?
What? No, like a litre one. You know, like...
Oh, right, them old school big orange juice, the big orange juice. We all thought were healthy, but absolute sugar bastards. Yeah.
The ones that we drank throughout our childhood and 20s, not realizing that that wasn't the way to be healthy.
No, thinking, oh, I'll have a big pint of that orange juice. It was basically like drinking a pint of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, yeah, those ones. Anyway, yeah. The inevitable happened. He woke up in the middle of the night and drank his own piss.
Oh, for fuck's sake. It's the same near enough same colour, especially if it was an apple juice colour.
Oh, my God.
I've done that before, hungover and had a big swig of straight vodka thinking it was water.
Oh, my God.
At uni. Oh, my God, that was awful. It's all gone disgusting, this, Josh.
It really has, hasn't it?
I've got some more great Instagrams, but I can do them on Friday before our interview. Should we do some shout-outs for small businesses?
Rob, I've got a business that will be very helpful for you.
Go on.
So this is from Danielle. Bit of background. I was made redundant last year because of COVID and my husband was furloughed for a year due to shielding. And when he could finally return to work, he had to drop his hours by half. It's been a difficult year financially, but all made more bearable by our four girls. To earn some more money, their daughters are 5 and 1 and 9 and 11. To earn some more money, my husband has set up a flat packing business. He puts together flat pack furniture for people, including trampolines.
Oh, legend.
Yes.
That is good because it is hard. If you haven't got time, and they are hard, and if you get someone that knows what they're doing, they do it in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's an invaluable service. Unfortunately, I was late listening to the Christmas episode. Otherwise, I would have offered his services. I was sceptical about whether his business would work, but I'm surprised by how many people actually want this service. That's very nice of you, God. Danielle.
I mean, that is the greatest compliment you could ever get from your wife.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people want it, but they do. So actually, well done.
I thought your business was going to be shit, but actually...
It's great.
It's great.
Thanks for what's the business called and where's he located?
BJD Flatpack Assembly, based in and around Hampshire. BJD Flatpack Assembly. And the website is... I mean, I'm going to say it. I bet Danielle said this website's not going to work for you. BJD-flat-pack-assembly.business.site. I felt like
hell.
That Pete Tong recording then.
BJD, mate. Get on Insta. Is he on Insta?
I don't know if he's on it. What would you put on Insta? Some flat pack furniture?
Yeah, you do before and after. Swipe to build. Tap to build. Fucking
do you know what? That'd be quite a satisfying Instagram to follow.
Tap to build. And he show you it all laid out the floor and you tap it and then it's fully built. Like Stacey Solomon does, tap to clean. Come on, mate. That website's a fucking mess.
There we go.
New website, please, mate. And get on Instagram and do that. A bit like the
pool tidy guy. Up your website like you tidy up your bloody flat packs, am I right?
And the pool guy on TikTok, they... Nick their ideas. Yes. Do it that way, basically.
I think that'd be a very relaxing account to follow. But, I'll just do it again. BJD. Yep. See if you can remember it, Rob.
Go.
-flat-pack-assembly.business.site. Right. Do you want to repeat that for me,
Rob? I'm actually type that in to the internet and see if it comes up. www.bjd.
Yep.
Hyphen.
Yep.
Flat.
Yep.
Hyphen pack.
Yeah.
-hyphen assembly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he needs assembly in this. No one's already got BJD -flat -flat pack. I feel like we're giving him too much shit now. It's the most advertising he'll ever get in his life, though, to be fair. Dot pack. So -hyphen assembly.
No, -assembly dot business.
Okay.
Dot site. By the way, because I'm in the document, I can see Michael's just... He's just selected the whole thing, so he's obviously searching for it online as well.
Let me do this again. How do you spell it? www.bjd-flat. I can't find it.
Anyone that thinks this is the driest bit of the show is an idiot. This is
assembly.business.site.
Yeah.
This doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
How do we get people in contact with this guy?
Oh, God.
Where is it? Is there any other information on this website?
BJD, flat. I'm Googling that. BJD, flat pack assembly. He has done, let's be honest, by having a fake website, he's done very well out of us. We've given him more airtime than any business has ever, even the ones that pay us.
Oh, Andrex and Boots are furious.
Oh, I've got it.
You found it?
BJD, flat pack assembly. So it is.
Yeah. Come on.
HTTPS.
Leave it out. It's got longer. HTTPS.
://
Yep.
And then it's BJD, hyphen flat, hyphen pack, hyphen assembly, dot business, dot site. So the www, he's not on the World Wide Web. How does that work?
Oh, God, he's marching to his own tune, this guy. Yeah. What's the website like? I'm still not in there.
It's good, actually. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. He's got testimonials on there.
Still can't find it, mate.
Excellent work, terrible website. Jackie Art, no.
I literally cannot even get onto his website. Let me Google it. BJD. This has gone on for too long. Flatpak, Hampshire. Let's see if it comes up on Google.
We got to 45 minutes, and I thought this will be a lovely edit this time. 8 minutes later, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
What do you mean you don't need to edit this bit? This bit's gold.
Here he is. 4 years in business. Right, anyway, yeah, we found him. Fucking Billy Joe D, whatever, BJD. Is it Billy Joe D? God knows. Right, I still can't find his website, but apparently it exists. Good luck with the business.
Yeah.
Right, we haven't really got time for another big shout-out. Let's give Broccoli Barber, the Broccoli Barber, another shout-out. My brother Joe is fully trained up, so you can book him now. He's based in Farringdon, London, but I think he also does other home visits in his spare time if you're not near Farringdon and Angel in London. It's Broccoli Barber on Instagram. I think that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've gone on for too long.
His website is www.broccoli-barber-haircuts-business.site.
That's really tickled me. Get on Instagram, BJD. Yeah, he's called The Broccoli Barber on Instagram. And get your hair cut, please, people. Right, Josh, I think that's us done, isn't it?
See you Friday.
See you on Friday.